Hello everyone and welcome to the first ever episode of Screaming for Progress, the fan-made podcast about all things progress wrestling related. I am your host, Stuart Lang. You may know me from 411 Mania and the Press Start podcast, and I have the same co-host on here as I do on that, the one and only Mr. Liam Morrow. Liam, introduce yourself to what may be a new crowd.
Well, I'm Liam. Honestly, I only got into progress about, 6 months ago now?
Yeah.
Which Stuart got me onto, but it's now, my favourite promotion out there. It's so good. Me and Stuart talk about it quite a lot, so I think this is probably how this podcast's getting started, to be honest.
Yeah, we figured that, we talk about it often enough. We watch the shows the first day that they come online. And quite frankly, I kind of want to get a lot of thoughts out there. I want to be able to reach a lot of people, talk about a lot of different things with regards to the different matches. Even if a lot of people don't listen or whatever, I think it'll enhance my own viewing experience, being able to just pay that little bit more attention, put an extra little bit of thought into it. And this first episode is going to be about the New York City card. So, happened nearly a month ago now, three weeks ago, Progress took to New York to do their first self-promoted shows across there. They did one in Orlando, in line with WrestleMania. But these were on their own back, New York and Boston in one weekend. And for shows that weren't chaptered content, quite a lot happened. So definitely talking points. We were going to combine the shows into one podcast for you guys. But yeah, New York certainly brought up enough talking points that we can probably cover it in one shot. So that's what we're here to do. So without any further mucking around, yeah, we'll get right into it. So, starts off as always with Jim playing up to the crowd a little bit, telling them things, setting the scene for the evening. And the sort of big news, obviously, is Pete Dunne being injured. He was meant to be in the main event, defending the Progress title against Jack Gallagher from 205 Live and the WWE. So, we got Pete coming out, wearing kind of a very off-putting outfit he was wearing. I don't know if you noticed this, Liam.
Yeah, short skinny trousers and loafers.
Yeah, and a nice pressed dress shirt. He looked very smart. until his feet. with no socks and stuff. Yeah, it was a bit, it's very off-putting. But yeah, he had stitches above his eye. I think he got 16 stitches above his eye in a match. Like a house show match or something, I believe. And he was out of his match with Jack Gallagher. So this brought Jack Gallagher out. And one thing that I sort of realised at this point is how strong the American accent is when there's a room full of 1,500 of them.
Yeah. it was probably the first time you noticed, as well as I did, when they were all chanting, it should have been, "This is progress."
Yeah.
But it sounded like, "This is progress."
yeah, this is progress. Yeah,
and it was odd,
yeah,
to say the least.
Yeah, it's kind of jarring. I mean, Americans who may be listening to this at any point, not a dig at your accent, but when you've watched 54 chapters of this, 54 chapters of progress, with an
with a UK sort of Mancunians or
Sheffield sort of Midlands
kind
of
accents, yeah,
exactly. So it was kind of jarring. It really kind of went, "Oh, hang on." And yeah, the first match was complete UK talent, Jack Gallagher taking on Zach Gibson, who is wonderfully over on the fact that he says "soon" a lot. I don't know if he does this in ICW as well, where he says he's Liverpool's number one, and then he goes, "soon to be recognised as the UK's number one, soon to be recognised as Progress number one," and the crowd hate it in the best possible way. It's
it's the loudest boo I think The only way I'll describe it is it's the best worst reaction I've ever heard to anyone.
Yeah, it's like real. It's what X-Pac Heat would be if X-Pac Heat was a good thing. it's probably the best way I can describe that.
I think the only thing that maybe comes close to it is sort of the day after WrestleMania, after Roman Reigns retired The Undertaker, and it was just like 15 minutes of just consistent booing him.
Yeah.
I think it's that sort of hatred.
Yeah, I mean, I think it almost, I know that being in an ICW crowd has maybe given me this sort of idea, but I feel like there's a lot of people trying to say soon along with him as well. But because the prominent vowels in that are the sort of the O's, and the, you know, you've got the oo sound, especially as he drags it out with his Scouse accent, it sounds like he's booing. It's like boo earns, you know? Like boo earns. So when they're going soon, just oo, it's that noise, just boo. So yeah, Zach Gibson's really, really had my opinion of him changed recently. His work in the last sort of 6 months or so across Progress and ICW has been awesome. I'm really grown to like the guy as a heel. This was a good match. This was an enjoyable enough match. There was a few pretty decent spots in it. Jack Gallagher kind of jumped into a guillotine choke at one point.
That was quite good.
Which was pretty cool. Zach Gibson also hit a horrific looking brainbuster on the outside the ring. At one point, swore at that
brainbuster. Yeah. He does.
Yeah, I swore at that. Like, I actually shouted fuck when I saw him do that. Like, that was grim. So yeah, it was a good enough match. Jack Gallagher picked up the win. Perfectly acceptable opener. Anything that you have on it that you want to talk about?
I will say, I think it shows a lot that WWE are maybe sort of pushing down Jack Gallagher a bit as to what he can do in the ring. Because it seems like he's a bit more, I don't want to say brutal, but he uses a lot more hard-hitting moves.
Yeah.
I mean, in this than he does in WWE. Like, I don't know, maybe they're telling him, like, we want you to go more with the high-flying style, but...
Well, they kind of talked about it on commentary, actually. They talked about like working a quote-unquote TV style, which is obviously what they linked to in the WWE. Now, the thing about the hard-hitting style is not only has Jack Gallagher sort of come up through like doing the sort of strong style wrestling, he's like a 3-0 cage fighter as well. Like, he's got a legitimate MMA background. He is a tough guy. Like, he's a legit fighter. So he can take the punishment, he can dish it out, and he can make it look real. A lot of it probably is a little bit real. You know, there's very few, or there's quite a lot that you see in Progress where you're like, well, that's not being pulled. Like, that's pretty real. We'll get to that when we talk about the main event, I'm sure. It was a perfectly good opening match. I did start noticing, because of where the hard cam was, and because they were literally using like an IKEA curtain at the top of the ramp, like you could see wrestlers watching the show from behind it. Like, you started seeing people like poking their head out. Like, I definitely saw Travis Banks at one point watching the show from behind the curtain. A little bit off-putting, but yeah, overall, good opener, no complaints there. Moving on, second up we had a women's tag team match, where we had Jenny teaming up with Deonna Purrazzo, taking on Dahlia Black and Dakota Kai. Not a terrible match, not a huge amount to really say about it. It's kind of servicing the chapter 54 match between Dahlia Black and Ginny to determine number one contendership for the women's title to be contested at chapter 55. But yeah, it was a fine Yeah, it was a fine match.
It was okay. I mean, I didn't see as much out of Dakota Kai as I'd like to, but considering sort of she was doing the Mae Young Classic and she's been signed to WWE now, so maybe they sort of said, you know, we don't mind you sort of using her, but maybe try and protect her a bit.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand because they're professionals. That's, you know, that's their job. So I don't quite understand that. But no, I didn't. Like you said, it was fine. But I thought at one point I thought Dahlia Black had legitimately hurt herself, which later on it turns out she had. But it wasn't as bad as they thought.
Yeah. Also, oddly enough, it was a bit of a foreshadowing as well.
Which,
again, we'll get to.
Getting to. See, Ginny, I don't know about Ginny. Like,
I'm going to be honest, I love Ginny. I'm a big fan.
I don't know. There's something. I don't know, I just don't... I mean, don't get me wrong, like, anyone who steps in the ring as a wrestler, puts their body on the line like that, I've got much respect for, but sort of her style, I'm not... I don't know.
Well, I think it was actually... There was a massive DDT hit on Ginny. I think it was Dakota Kai that hit it. Like, the torque, and it was disgusting. I think it was towards the end of the match. One thing I would say is I thought that Dahlia would have been a better hot tag in, but rather than her taking the heat segment. But yeah, Ginny gets a win. Built up towards their match at Chapter 54, which has happened, but we've not seen, so we're not going to talk about. We can move right on from there. Moving on, we have the number one contendership for the Atlas title. This was a bit of a weird match because two guys who don't really have an awful lot of history in Progress, really. Donovan Dijak, I think, was making his Progress debut against Timothy Thatcher, who people only really know as part of Ringkampf, which is weird because he's not German, but hey-ho. Thatcher got booed out. I think it's kind of a local thing because he's former, like he was in Evolve, he was a former Evolve champion, they kept mentioning. They kept mentioning that and playing up the fact that Walter, the sort of Ringkampf stablemate, was the Atlas champion. So Thatcher wins and Walter retained against Matt Riddle later in the evening. Then we'd get a Ringkampf sort of showdown, which is what happened. Thatcher won. I really wasn't too bothered about this match, to be totally honest with you. Just two big guys kind of chucking everything at each other. And not really in a good way. I don't know if you can add anything to it at all. Or...
No, except for I quite like Dijak. Thatcher I'm not sure about. But like you said, it's a weird one. Like, it just seemed a bit thrown together.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I think that Dijak was Dijak's probably been brought in because he's kind of a local talent, just not really bothered about it, to be honest with you. We've got Timothy Thatcher cashes in his opportunity at Chapter 55 and that's it. So yeah, quick and easy one to talk about, and sort of can move on again. Next up, thankfully, was a match that I was really looking forward to. We had the bad boy from New Jersey, Joey Janela, taking on Jimmy Havoc. And what surprised me here was the reaction for each man. Given the fact that I know a lot of Americans don't like Jimmy Havoc, he was over as fuck, and Joey Janela was booed out of the building.
I actually saw a couple of Jimmy Havoc t-shirts in the crowd.
Yeah, like it was nuts. I know that the CZW win that Jimmy had in Tournament of Death didn't go down well with the CZW faithful. I can see why. He didn't really do a great deal compared to some of the other guys in the tournament. You know, he didn't take any, I say, extreme bumps. Like, he did things I wouldn't want to do, but
no.
You know, he didn't really do a lot of like sort of Ricky Shane Page or Schlack got up to during their matches. But yeah, this was a really entertaining match.
Yeah, when the Breeze Blocks came out, I was thinking, yeah, this is getting quite nasty now.
Yeah,
in a good way.
But. Yeah, no, I mean there was a few different points in it. Like there was, I mean, the fact that it stayed in the ring for maybe 10 seconds was something that I kind of liked. One thing that I've seen in GIFs for the last like 3 weeks. Was the sort of monkey toss, the monkey flip? The
monkey flip.
When Joey Janela was sitting in the chair and he held onto it and landed the chair, like, oh, it was so good.
Yeah, just crossed his legs and I did that.
Like, if you've not seen this and you're listening to this, then please seek this out. Like, it's absolutely insane. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen in wrestling. Joey Janela flipping on a chair and landing.
You know what, looking at their reactions, I don't know how intentional that was.
I think they wanted to try it, but yeah, I think they wanted to do it. I think they didn't realise that they were going to. I think it's one of them, you know, like, imagine how cool it'll be if it happens. Uh-huh. Well, let's
just try it anyway.
Yeah, let's try it. Let's, you know, suck it and see. So yeah, awesome. Like, absolutely loved it. Yeah.
I mean, he got kicked in the face after it, but
yeah, well, that's no less than he deserved. He was able to hit a Death Valley driver through a table on the outside to Havoc, and then, like you say, cinder blocks came out. They played into the finish, actually, but yeah, like, it got really nasty, and Jimmy decided to take off Janela's shoes, socks and shoes, and...
Yeah. Bite his toes,
bit nasty. And then, I'm not going to even lie, like, I don't know how legitimate thumbtacks are in wrestling, okay? I know a lot of them have to be real because they need to show them sticking into the skin, right? That still made me cover my eyes when he picked up the now barefoot Janela and placed him back down on the thumbtacks, feet first. Like, that was absolutely disgusting. I totally winced. Horrible.
It's bad enough when you see someone body slammed into him, suplexed into him, and you think, well, it's going to hurt, but, you know, these guys are, you know, they're muscular, they're built.
Yeah.
You know, they can prepare for that. On your feet, that the bottom of your feet is... so just ridiculously sensitive for most people. So yeah. that's gonna hurt regardless.
Yeah. Oh, it was just horrible. Like, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Surprisingly, Jimmy Havoc went over here. I say surprisingly, 'cause I feel like I've not seen Jimmy Havoc win in a while in progress. I've not done any fact checking or anything like that. I know his last, I think chapter 53. Him and Mark Haskins lost their match against British Strong Style. I don't feel like I've seen Jimmy win in a while outside of CZW. Surprising to see him pick up the win over Joey Janela. Really good fun match. Up until this point, probably my match of the night thus far. I think it was kind of always going to be. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. As soon as they say no disqualification and Jimmy Havoc in the same sentence, you know it's going to be fun, but still horrid to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a patch on his Will Ospreay matches from sort of chapter 20, 21 kind of thing. Yeah. Maybe we'll get...
That last one with Ospreay,
yeah,
the loser leaves progress match, that was... Jesus Christ, I thought they were... actually trying to kill each other on that one.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
like the fans brought weapons match, wasn't it?
That was the fans brought the weapons match, yeah. To be honest, I prefer the Chapter 21, where Osprey was working as face and Havoc was working as heel.
Yeah, Havoc was the champion, wasn't he?
But in the retirement one, that was Osprey was working heel in that one, and I don't like Osprey as a heel, to be honest.
He had this weird sort of James Bond assassin type
thing
going on, which was odd.
Yeah, I think the Assassin's Creed one from earlier, like Chapter 20, was a lot better, but yeah, can't complain with Jimmy Havoc, no DQ, and yeah, Havoc went over and we got the interval. So at this point, people are really starting to complain about the heat in the building. Like, there was no air conditioning in the building. I think at one point they claimed it was up at over 100 degrees, and you could see it in the wrestlers as well. Like, at one point, like, Jimmy had a fight with a fan over his bottle of water.
Yeah. That was near the beginning. Wasn't
it? Yeah, it was right at the start of the match. And you could just tell, like, they were pouring sweat. Like, it must have been absolutely horrendous for them out there. Definitely by the end, like, you could see, like, I'm not going to lie, like, Walter and Matt Riddle towards the end. They were so, like they just got out of the bath. It was awful.
Mind you, Matt Riddle, he was soaked before they started.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Riddle kind of tends to be, but yeah, the fact that he came and he was soaked to the skin, like, from his entrance, I think shows the heat in the building, considering that Matt's probably the fittest man in the entire, probably on the entire roster, I would guess.
Looking at him,
yeah, absolutely nuts. But yeah, we got the intermission. Another thing I noticed at this point was how much we were getting the Too Sweet chant.
Which is really, really, it was funny for about 5 minutes, and then it just got really annoying after that.
Yeah, it's really often. It's one of the things I hate most about wrestling at the moment, is the fans shouting Too Sweet after every single fucking two count. Stop it. If you're listening to this, please stop it. It's not good. It's not funny. It's horrendous. So yeah, came back from intermission, and we had what was advertised to be a three-way dance between, or sorry, a triple threat match between Mark Andrews, my bae, my spirit animal, taking on Mark Haskins, and it was scheduled to be Zach Gibson. Now, obviously, he was moved to down the card. He was moved to the opening match, taking on Jack Gallagher, and Jim was out announcing that we were still going to get the triple threat match, and brought out Austin Theory. Whoever Austin Theory is, he, to paint a picture, probably be best described as a skinny Baron Corbin. In terms of his looks, I will just say, he totally won me over during this match. A couple of things I'll talk about in a minute. I thought he did really well. I thought it was a couple of spots that he was phenomenal in. I think he also saved Mark Andrews' life at one point, which I'll get to. But yeah, as they were doing the ring announcement, Jim then told us that we were going to get another man added in. And out came, well, you can take it from there if you want.
Well, he announced it was Keith Lee, who, if you're not familiar with him, he is an absolute beast of a man.
He's maybe I know he's not, but I feel like he's the biggest man I've ever seen. Do you know what I mean?
Just like, I think in, not just physically, but like his presence as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's not Big Show tall. He's not like Viscera big.
No one's Viscera big.
But he's the guy's like, he's like probably like 400 pounds of man. Like, he's just he's just terrifying. Like, he's... Yeah. He came out, massive reaction.
Bask in his glory, that sort of thing.
Bask in his glory. I thought at points it kind of sounded like they were saying Haskins is boring the crowd. I don't think they were. I don't think you can call Mark Haskins boring. I will say, though, that it's getting to a point where he almost does as many super kicks as the Young Bucks in his matches.
Yeah. It's like super kicks aren't like a finisher anymore.
Yeah, they're,
it's getting
they're
the
not.
Way like a DDT where Jake Snake Roberts used to do a DDT match over. Now it's like it's a two count.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I can kind of appreciate certain things. You know, I like the fact that some guys can use them. Like if Jake the Snake came back right now today and ended up on Raw, right, and hit someone with a DDT, then they'd still sell it like they'd been hit by a car. Because his DDT was perfect, and that's what they have to sell it as. Same with, you know, like HBK's super kick, Sweet Chin Music. He has perfected that maneuver. You know, it's like Bruce Lee would say: "It's like don't fear the man who's practiced 1,000 moves one time. Fear the man who's practiced 1,000 times." It's like that, and yeah. It just kind of bugs me, and I hate seeing that many super kicks in a match that doesn't have the Young Bucks in it. But yeah, anyway, not here to talk about super kicks, we're here to talk about the match. This is my match of the night. I'm going to put that out there just now. This, for me, was the best match of the night. I don't know if it's because it was the first match back from injury for my hero, my best friend, Mark Andrews, or the fact that Austin Theory and Keith Lee both completely outperformed any expectation for them. This was a great fun match. Really, really good. What did you reckon?
It was... I mean, we always know when, especially with Progress, when they do sort of a three-way or a four-way match, it's always just the best type of chaos there is. There's just people flying everywhere. You never see one person have the upper hand for too long, which is the way sort of multiple man matches should be, I think. And yeah, like you said, Austin Theory, I'd never heard of him before. But he showed a few things that, you know, he belongs in that ring.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, the point that I said that he sort of saved Mark Andrews' life there was Keith Lee was going to powerbomb this Austin Theory fella. He's a ridiculous name, really, isn't it? Let's be honest.
he's kind of grown on me a bit. I've got to say.
He's totally. He's grown on me. His name is terrible. Keith Lee was going to powerbomb him. Mark Andrews was on the turnbuckle, and they were doing like a sort of Tower of Doom spot.
Yes.
And Mark didn't extend himself properly for the suplex, and Austin was able to hold him in the position, like complete deadlift, hold him in position to get him up and over for the suplex. Like, if that had gone wrong, like, Mark Andrews would have probably impaled himself on the ring post if he'd lost his grip there. Like,
just complete, like, that's Austin Theory just being an absolute professional there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know there's this whole thing about Sexy Star at the moment. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yes, Sexy Star, who intentionally broke Rosemary's arm.
Yeah, well, it's not... It turns out it wasn't broken, but that's what she was going for by the looks of it. You know, the ref had... I don't even know what promotion it was now.
Triple A.
I don't think it matters, to be quite honest.
It was Triple A. It was Triple Mania last weekend.
Yeah. But yeah, like, for those of you who haven't seen it, basically it was the end of the match. Sexy Style got this armbar on Rosemary. She tapped out. Ref called it, but she wouldn't let go, and she just properly, like, wrenching, like, it looked like a UFC sort of wrenching down on this arm, trying to break it. And there's just been this whole, you know, rightly so, this whole outcry on sort of social media from other wrestlers saying, like, she ain't working with us anymore. Yeah. I think Cody Rhodes has gone so far as to ban her from any locker room he's in.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I mean, quite right. There's no room for it, especially not these days, really. Like, yeah, the fact is, like, we're way past the sort of hazing days. We're way past all that. You know, there's too much in the sport now. There's too many eyes on behind the scenes of the business for them to get away with this sort of stuff now.
We all know it's scripted, but we enjoy it nonetheless.
Yeah.
But these guys, they have to trust each other.
Yeah.
Which, going back to the main point, like you said, Austin Theory has saved Mark Andrews from probably a career-threatening, if not life-threatening, injury there.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, great performance by all four of these guys. And yeah, well impressed. Like I say, this was not up until this point. This ended up being my match of the night. Fantastic outing by all four men. Mark Haskins got the win with a sharpshooter on Austin Theory. Weird to see Haskins working quite so much as a face here. Kind of forgetting the fact that he's in a program with Jimmy Havoc at the moment, that they're doing that whole sort of like friends torn apart kind of deal with them.
Yeah.
They're kind of both working as faces just now. I don't really get what's going on, but hey ho. I'm just kind of looking forward to seeing them kick the crap out of each other, which I'm sure they will. I know that there was a segment at Chapter 54. I don't know what happened. I'm trying to avoid spoilers as much as possible. So if you do as well, and for some reason that this brand new podcast that is less than one episode old is the only news that you have or the only updates you have on Progress Wrestling, stay tuned and you'll hear what happens. So up until this point, we're sort of, where are we? We've got two matches left. What were your thoughts on the event so far?
I thought it was a pretty sort of standard Progress card. Lots to talk about and good matches and, you know, all the wrestlers just put their absolute bollocks into it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the reason I ask that is I feel like the fans of this show were kind of hard done by. Like, the temperature in the building, the fact that it didn't look like a particularly nice setup for a wrestling show either, like the way they were sort of like put up the bleachers and stuff like that.
I don't think you can blame that on Progress. That's more on
it's
Americans, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally
just
not
the way they have everything set up.
Yeah, it's totally not Progress's fault, but you know, they were packed in like sardines. They lost their main event at very short notice as well. And I felt like Jim was constantly having to apologise for different things and for thanking them for being awesome and all that sort of thing. And the next match was just another kind of check against this card. When we had British Strong Style taking on South Pacific Power Trip of TK Cooper and Travis Banks, who, for me, I think the South Pacific Power Couple, when they came back a couple of weeks ago, that's the best, biggest pop, most genuine pop I've ever heard.
Wrestling. It was ridiculous, and it was weird as well, because when I sort of first started watching Progress, they were more heels.
Well, they
and
technically
then
left
as
as
it got
heels.
towards, sorry,
They worked heel as their for their last match, and when they lost their last match, they got the "please come back" kind of chance because the crowd knew they were leaving, and that's all well and good. But the pop they got when they came back, like Jesus Christ! Like the only thing that comes close to that is when CCK came out. A few chapters ago, I think that was that chapter 49. I think CCK came out, and the crowd went apeshit. This was bigger than that.
This is the biggest one I've ever heard.
Yeah,
in a progress show, definitely.
So they're well established now as faces. That Keep It 100 music, I love it. I want that as my ringtone. I want to wake up to it. I want to fall asleep to it. It's just fucking awesome. Very, very quickly in, we got the sort of standard British strong style, like pandering, that kind of thing. We got a couple of enjoyable sort of spots early on, like Trent Seven was getting six chanted at him, which I enjoy greatly because he got knocked out by Matt Riddle in 6 seconds. At British
well,
strong
Jim
style,
Smallman put it, knocked the fuck out.
Yeah,
which I loved. Loved that the announcer said that.
Yeah, yeah. And then TK, he was doing Too Sweet to Everyone. The referee refused when he went to do it to TK. He countered by doing the below the hip circle, which is standard playground rules for getting a punch.
Has that got a name?
Well, I've written notes. I will point out, I've been prepared for this show. I wrote notes. I have called it the circle punch. I assume it does have a name. If you're listening and you know the name, then please get in touch with us. I realise that I should have shared Twitter and stuff of this beforehand, but I'm sure that's how you found us anyway. While I'm on it, if you want to follow the show on Twitter, it's Progress Scream on Twitter, and if you just search Facebook for Screaming for Progress, you'll find us, so like and share and follow and all that sort of good thing. But yeah, if you know what that's called, get in touch with us through either of those things. I was pissing myself laughing at that, to be completely honest. I genuinely burst out laughing because,
I did.
We've done that. You do that. Standard, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I did it on a picture on Facebook, I think, didn't I?
Yeah, it's mature playground humour. I was glad that it sort of got recognised by the American crowd. I wasn't sure if it was like a British thing or whatever, but it was pretty good fun. Not long
saying
past,
that, I've seen it in Neighbours once.
You saw it in Neighbours.
Yeah, okay. I think Toadie did it to someone. Okay. If you watch Neighbours, that is.
Well. No, no. Although
so
I think
it's got that far.
I think the last time I did, Toadie was in it. I think he's one of these guys. It's like one of these guys that just isn't going to leave his soap, is he?
Nah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's like the Australian Ian Beale. A Phoenix splash from the top rope by TK out to the sort of ringside area on everyone went horribly wrong, and they actually cut the stream.
I noticed that.
Yeah, they actually cut the stream. Glenn left ringside, left the commentator, the American commentator, whose name I completely forget. I think his name's like Lenny Leonard or something like that.
No, it's Lenny Leonard, like the Simpsons character, Lenny.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Of course he is, yeah. That's all well and good. Left him on his own, and... That was the rest of the match. TK had a legitimate ankle injury. We said about the Dahlia Black thing foreshadowing it a little bit. And the rest of the match was weird. Like, they were clearly distracted. It was used just to build heat between Travis and Pete Dunne and the build to their Chapter 55 match. For the title,
yeah.
I think they're really treading water at the moment. I think Travis Banks is an absolute shoo-in to win this match at Chapter 55. I think everything they've done for the last year is leading towards Travis winning the title at Chapter 55. I'm not saying predictable booking is bad, but the only other person I can think of who should have been this much of a favorite to win a fight was Floyd Mayweather last Saturday night.
Yeah, I think it's going that way, isn't it?
I mean, it's like say,
Definitely.
predictable booking is fine, but it seems so predictable. Like it does seem like we're just beating a drum until then.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I'm a fan of Travis Banks. I'm a fan of his style. He's sort of, well, they call him the Kiwi Buzzsaw, and he just is just. He'll just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. But I don't know if he'd got this sort of role if TK and Dahlia hadn't have left in the first place. I don't know how much that had anything to do with his run. Yeah,
I mean,
I
I
don't know.
think, sorry, I was just going to say the end of this match was dreadful as well. I realized they made it up on the fly, but like considering Travis had just kicked out of a pedigree by Trent Seven, for him to then get the win with like that weird kind of Rob Van Dam one-footed drop kick
I think it's
thing.
called Slice of Heaven.
Yeah, like it's oh,
Kind of like Cody Rhodes' disaster kick he used to do.
yes, yeah. I was really let down by the end of this. Trent did the whole like what just happened kind of reaction, which would have been fine if he'd like hit him at least with a roll up or small package or something like that. Yeah, it was the guys did well under the circumstances. One of their friends got a very legitimate injury, had to be carried out by like Keith Lee and stuff. I don't think that he's gonna stay out for too much longer. Or if he, I think he's confirmed for Alexandra Palace, but it must have sucked being in the ring, and the fact they stayed out turned it into a handicap match, which is weird because you can only imagine that they weren't going to win the titles here, because it was initially for the tag team championship. So you have to imagine
Yeah.
British Strong Style would have gone over here, but then Travis went over but didn't take the titles, so surely it
Yeah,
would have
you
stayed.
couldn't imagine Travis having the tag title and the progress title.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I feel like they should have addressed that. At least just a, oh, we're going to make a handicap match. The tag titles are no longer on the line. But then that would have telegraphed Travis winning a little bit. I don't know. Like say, I think everyone did the best they could under the panic circumstances, but.
Yeah, I think the only other thing they could have done was maybe bring out someone as like a replacement partner,
Yeah, I think
then
so.
British Strong Style win, and
But then,
that would have been fine, I think.
because nobody went backstage, like there wasn't really a, like I didn't even see them talking about what they were going to do in terms of the ending of the match. You know, there wasn't really a point where they spoke about that. I mean, obviously information must have been relayed and stuff, but like,
Yeah,
you
I
know,
mean, because they cut
no
the
word would have.
stream, not sure what happened there.
I can only imagine that's why Glenn didn't remain on commentary, because I think Glenn and Jim are sort of two of the bookers kind of thing. So
Yeah.
I can only imagine that's where he went to sort of relay the changes in booking. But yeah, it was a bit of a bum deal for New York, bit of a shame. And yeah, bit of a sour note for the evening. I'm glad that wasn't the last match. The last match we had was for the Atlas Championship with the King of Bros, Matt Riddle. Taking on the Atlas champion Volta, also of Ring Camp. I did laugh again. Matt was doing his entrance, and as he took off his shirt in the ring, I could see him mouth to fans at ringside, "Fuck me, it's really hot."
Yeah, I love Matt Riddle. I really do. I think he's probably my favourite
yeah,
wrestler at the moment.
absolutely awesome. Like, unfortunately, this wasn't even their best outing together. When they fought at Chapter 46, I believe. The I'm just going to chill here and shoot dinosaurs one. That was a much, much better match. But I kind of want to say, like, Matt Riddle, for someone who used to be a UFC fighter professionally, he has changed sport and he's got it.
Oh yeah, he's awesome. Like, he's got, I mean, you can still see the UFC influence, yeah, with sort of the jumping knees and the kicks. And
yeah, he did a jumping triangle,
the hammer fists and the head stomps.
Yeah,
like, I think he's actually won a match like that.
Yeah, yeah, he has. It's just been like kind of called off because he's been kicking too much ass. Yeah.
That was how he won the Atlas title, wasn't it?
Yeah, from Rampage Brown.
Brown. Yeah. He just beat him into submission.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently he hasn't signed with WWE because he had a bit of a problem with the schmoke.
Yeah, he's openly a stoner. You know, he's kind of said that's one of the reasons why he won't sign for WWE, because he will fail at the wellness test. I'm glad, actually. I think that he is the exact sort of standard bearer for indie wrestling. I think that the fact he carries a multiple belt. Yeah, you know, he comes out dripping with belts. You know, he's got the same sort of swag or the same character between promotions. And there's not many wrestlers that can carry the same character and sort of control their own booking. Like, I can only really think of him and, like, Session Moth Martina, who carry the same character, like, to that degree. You know, even Travis Banks and Joe Hendry and these guys, like, they're different characters in different promotions. It's hard to keep up with them. Whereas, you know, okay, we could call British Strong Style there. Okay, but even ICW don't acknowledge British Strong Style. Like, WWE don't acknowledge British Strong Style as being an important thing. You know, like, just, you know, five weeks ago, Trent Seven faced Pete Dunne as part of a Fatal 4-Way. Tyler Bate took on Pete Dunne in probably the match of the year in the WWE. It's not a big deal. Like, they'll bring it up on commentary, but it's not part of their characters. Matt Riddle is Matt Riddle everywhere he goes. He's the same deal, the same thing. And it's a joy. I love watching him.
Yeah, especially in his matches with Walter, or sorry, Volta, however it's pronounced.
Volta, yeah.
they've had sort of some of the best matches I've ever seen. And you say this one wasn't as good as their other couple, but that might have been the heat just getting to them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, because it was so hot, and you could see, like, I think at one point Walter had a rear naked choke on Riddle. They managed to get out, but it's almost like they just sort of slid out of each other. Like, just the sweat just lubricated them.
Yeah. I mean,
the only way I can put it. Sorry if that sounds nasty.
No, I get it. Like, it's, I can hear the word lubricate without thinking of anything more heinous. But yeah, like, there was a couple of things. One thing I love about Walter's character is how whenever he stands up, he always stands at ease. I love that. Like, it's such a nice little nuance to his character. I think it's awesome. The other thing was, I was laughing towards the end. Like, I think Matt hit him with, like, a kick, and he spat on the cameraman, and he totally broke character because he realised, like, you just see his panicked face as he realised that he's just spat right in a cameraman's face. Like, it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. But yeah, Matt Riddle won, new Atlas champion. Bit of a shock, actually. I thought Walter was going to keep it.
For a while anyway, yeah.
Yeah, genuinely wasn't spoiled for me either, the title change, so big surprise, big ending, and yeah, that was it. That was New York show. So, what were your final thoughts on it overall?
I can't say I had an out and out favourite match. I because I guess the circumstances kind of soured a few of the matches. I think if Pete Dunne was cleared to fight,
yeah,
him and Jack Gallagher, that would have been far and away the match of the night. As it was, I'd say, yeah, probably the four-way would be the best match, but it kind of wasn't by a lot compared to the other matches, if you'd say what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was a great night anyway. I've just checked there, and we have the Boston show is available to watch now. So that is going to be what I do for the rest of my evening. So until we can get you back on for another edition of Screaming for Progress, this has been Liam. I've been Stuart. Liam, anything you want to say before we go?
No, nothing really.
Nothing at all. So if you want to get Liam, it's The Grim Fish on Twitter. I am Out After Dark 216, and you've got Progress Scream for the show. Hope you enjoyed the first episode. Love to hear your thoughts and feedback, and we'll see you when we're back for the Boston show. Peace out.